This morning, America's First News starts right after this. When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to geico.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Trump wins. Cruz is out. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. On this Wednesday, May 4th, glad you could be with us. And here's what we have for you this hour.
Donald Trump took the Indiana primary, forcing rival Ted Cruz to the sidelines. Now, Trump can brace for an onslaught of negative ads from a super PAC supporting Hillary Clinton.
A U.S. service member killed in Iraq by Islamic State terrorists has been identified as a Navy SEAL from Arizona.
California has apparently secured enough signatures for a ballot initiative this November that would legalize marijuana.
And with Tony Award nominations heaped on the Broadway show Hamilton, how can you get affordable tickets if any are even available?
The demand for this exceeds a lot of what we typically see for Broadway shows. The box office prices sold out through January 2017, and the secondary market, your typical get-in price is somewhere $600 to $800 range, with most tickets averaging about $1,200.
Kelly Grant at CNBC.com on scoring tickets to Hamilton. She's here in about 20 minutes. Well, his path is now clear. Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump not only captured the Indiana primary, but also his chief rival quit the race after the results were announced last night.
It's been some unbelievable day and evening and year, and never have been through anything like this, but it's a beautiful thing to watch and a beautiful thing to behold.
That was not edited. That was a humble-sounding Donald Trump. With the victory, the New York businessman didn't clinch the nomination, but the only thing in his way now is Ohio Governor John Kasich, who has one win and 40 losses this primary season. Meanwhile, Texas Senator Ted Cruz told supporters that his run for the nomination is over.
We left it all on the field in Indiana. We gave it everything we've got. But the voters chose another path.
In a tweet, Republican National Committee Chairman Reince Priebus called Mr. Trump the presumptive nominee, saying it's time to unite and focus on defeating Democratic frontrunner Hillary Clinton. Mr. Trump, by the way, is 225 delegates away from officially clinching the nomination. He needs just half of the total remaining to reach 1,237 delegates. In the Democratic presidential primary, Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders won Indiana last evening, but the margin of victory was not enough to derail the campaign of former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. However, he's hopeful. Democrats distribute delegates proportionately in all states, so he has to win all future contests by huge margins.
Nobody, I think, would have dreamed that here at this particular point, in May of 2016, not only would we be here, but we would be winning elections, but we are.
Meanwhile, Mrs. Clinton campaigned in West Virginia, where her pledge several weeks ago that she would put a lot of coal miners and coal companies out of business is not well received.
If I have the honor of serving as your president, I will fight for you and your families every day, whether you vote for me or not. I will be your partner.
For his part, Mr. Sanders, who dominated the youth vote and independents, is trying to appeal to superdelegates by citing national polls showing he beats Republican Donald Trump by a wider margin than Mrs. Clinton. Well, there's a load of cash on the sidelines of the presidential campaign. It belongs to a super PAC supporting Democrat Hillary Clinton, and it's painting a big target on the back of Republican Donald Trump. As SV Date at National Journal reports, we'll see how Mr. Trump punches back when $20 million in attack ads hit the airwaves against him next month. Will he pony up the money to fight back? SV, set this up.
Well, there's a super PAC that was invented kind of by President Obama's aides back in 2011 to help him get reelected. Well, that super PAC, Priorities USA, is now backing Hillary Clinton, and they're ready to go with $20 million in ads in all the places you'd think, right? New Hampshire, Virginia, Florida, Ohio, and they're going to take down or try to do as much damage to whoever the Republicans nominate before the actual nomination happens in Cleveland. So exactly what they did to Mitt Romney, do you remember those ads? The Priorities ran against Mitt Romney, making him seem like this this horrible vulture capitalist. Well, they're going to do the same with Donald Trump right now.
Wow. How soon would that start?
Well, California votes on June 7th. These ads will start June 8th. So, you know, right after, it's too late to do anything about it for Republicans and to kind of change course on nominating Trump, they will start the ads and they will go, that's the amount that they plan to spend right through the convention. That's just TV. They also plan to do $35 million in web ads. And then after the convention, they already got another, I believe, $70 million lined up between then and Election Day. And again, that's just this one super PAC. We're not talking about the Democratic Party. We're not talking about Hillary Clinton's campaign. They'll probably do some stuff as well.
Wow. All right, so how will the Trump campaign respond? Because as you point out, he hasn't really spent a whole lot of money, at least relative to the other candidates in the GOP race.
Right, he has not. He doesn't like spending money. That's been very clear. I mean, he had this shoestring operation in Iowa. Had he actually spent money in Iowa, he might have won there. He hasn't spent money on TV ads very much compared to the other candidates. In fact, like his second biggest expense, more than he spends on staff, is actually jet fuel for his airplane. So he likes to fly in style, but he doesn't like to spend money on the campaign. I don't know how he's going to counter this, because merely getting on TV and insulting Hillary and calling her Crooked Hillary may not get through to the general election voters that he needs to reach in these key states. If he loses Florida, it's pretty much over. And that's one of the states where they'll be advertising in.
We're speaking with S.V. Date, White House correspondent at National Journal. His story is called Democrats Plan to Pound Trump Before He's Nominated. All right, so what about a super PAC acting on Mr. Trump's behalf and fighting back against the Hillary Clinton ads?
Yeah, that could happen, and there has been a super PAC helping Trump, despite his claims that no one's helping him, he hates super PACs, they're corrupt, et cetera, et cetera. But they've only spent $7 million through this entire election so far. You have to find donors who, again, Trump has been insulting this entire time. He's been saying they're all special interests, they all want something, they can't buy me. Now he's going to go to them and say, here, give me $10 million so I can run ads against Hillary.
Yeah.
Yeah, good luck with that. I mean, there may be some who hate Hillary more than they're, that'll outweigh how angry they are at Trump, but it's going to be a lot easier for Hillary's team to raise money, I think, than Trump's team.
And there will be limits, I guess, in terms of his financial response from his own campaign, right? He's lent himself some money for the campaign, but I presume he'll draw a line in the sand?
Well, we don't know what that line is. Remember, at one point he said he was going to spend even $1 billion, if that's what it took. Well, he doesn't have $1 billion in liquid assets. I mean, that's just silly. If you just look at his disclosure he made to the FEC last year, at most he's got $200 million in cash equivalents, and relatively liquid assets he could, I guess, convert to money to spend.
Thanks, S.V. S.V. Date, White House correspondent at National Journal. 14 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. If you're looking to grow or relocate your business, there are three numbers you should know: 10, 2000, and 6. 10 stands for Michigan's ranking as a top 10 pro-business state. 2000 is the number of unnecessary regulations Michigan has eliminated in the last 5 years. And 6 stands for Michigan's rank for best entrepreneurial climate. All those numbers add up to the one state that has all that and more, Michigan. Go to MichiganBusiness.org to learn more. Here's to the innovators and job creators. Dell is proud to support small businesses everywhere with reliable, award-winning technology powered by Intel Core processors, created to give your business 4 times faster performance and cut downtime by 50%. During Small Business Month, enjoy 35% off select business PCs, plus always get free shipping and advice from Dell's dedicated experts. Visit Dell.com/radio to discover how we can help you do your best work. Intel inside, powerful solution outside. Good Wednesday to you. Welcome aboard. California appears a step closer to legalizing marijuana. A coalition now says it has collected 600,000 signatures, more than enough to qualify as an initiative on the ballot in November. Cynthia Flores in Los Angeles is among the supporters.
I think it would be great for the economy, great for the consumers, great for business. I'm really for it.
The measure would allow adults ages 21 and older to possess, transport, and use up to an ounce of marijuana for recreational purposes and would allow individuals to grow as many as 6 plants. It would also tax retail sales of pot at 15%. Raquel Carey of Santa Clarita is opposed to it.
I understand there's economic benefits and there's all different benefits, but these are people's lives that are being hurt by a drug that essentially can become incredibly addictive.
Democratic Lieutenant Governor Gavin Newsom and other supporters of the measure plan to kick off a campaign for voter approval today in San Francisco. If approved this fall, California would join Colorado, Washington, Alaska, and Oregon as states that allow recreational use of marijuana. It's 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
President Donald Trump is the presumptive Republican presidential nominee following a decisive victory in the Indiana primary and the decision by Ted Cruz to drop out of the race. Though Trump has not formally secured the number of delegates he needs to win the nomination, there's no serious opposition left to block his path. With Trump moving forward, Hillary Clinton is beginning to explore ways to garner more support. She campaigned yesterday in the coal mining town of Athens, Ohio, where she isn't well liked.
I will be your partner, and I will not for one minute give up on Appalachia, not on your workers, your children, your retirees, or your communities.
Democratic frontrunner's campaign believes Trump's high unfavorable ratings may be enough to persuade a slice of GOP voters to get behind her bid. Health officials say they are doing everything they can to minimize Zika outbreaks in the U.S., but it's likely the virus will spread from mosquitoes to humans here in the future. Dr. Anthony Fauci is with the National Institutes of Health.
The big question in the United States is, will we get local transmission? And my response to that is, very likely we will.
Fauci says it will take a very aggressive, concerted effort to control and eliminate the mosquitoes that carry the disease. It's back to class for public school students in Detroit today, whose teachers had called out sick Monday and Tuesday over a pay dispute. Teachers say they've now been assured they'll continue to be paid through the summer. New York's iconic Stonewall Inn, where the modern gay rights movement took root, will become the first national monument honoring the history of gays and lesbians in the U.S. under a proposal President Obama is preparing to approve. Designating the small swath of land will mark a major act of national recognition for gay rights advocates and their struggles over the last half century. What's the number one reason people end up in the ER? Injuries related to steps and stairs. In 2014, there were more than 1.1 million visits to emergency rooms in which steps or stairs played a role in the injury. The second most common reason, an injury related to floors, slipping or tripping.
All right. Wow.
It's a lot of falling down we're doing.
It is. I've watched my daughter when she was young learning to navigate the stairs, take a header right down the stairs.
Ugh.
Oh, I screamed.
I'll bet.
Oh,
that's scary
just
to watch.
Like doing inventory on like a 3-year-old trying to figure out what's broken. What's,
yes.
Oh, man.
Yep.
Still have that vision in my head. You cannot unsee that.
Yeah.
23 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Time now for a travel update, and it's brought to you by Lexington Hotels. Treat yourself to a hotel that provides exceptional quality, great rates, and a personal touch. Visit LexingtonHotels.com for locations across North America. The good news is that the smash Broadway show Hamilton has collected a record-setting 16 Tony Award nominations, including Best Musical and Original Score. The bad news is that tickets just got harder to get and more expensive. Advice for theater goers on how to avoid breaking the bank from Kelly Grant, consumer reporter at CNBC.com. Kelly, help us out.
There have been so many nominations and accolades for Hamilton already. It's something when you talk to analysts, they say that the demand for this exceeds a lot of what we typically see for Broadway shows with the box office prices sold out through January 2017 and the secondary market, your typical get-in price is somewhere in the $600 to $800 range with most tickets averaging about $1,200.
My goodness. All right. So,
ouch, right?
Yeah. So for those who, that's a critical, travel period, say late in the year from mid-November through mid-January, when folks may be coming to town to see a show like Hamilton in New York, what are they supposed to do?
Well, for really anybody who wants to see the show between now and, you know, when potentially that next ticket block goes on sale for next year, you want to be starting to, you know, ideally plan ahead. You know, getting in at the next ticket block is probably going to be your best bet at getting a face value ticket pretty cheaply there. No word yet on when that might be available, but if you ready your Amex card, we have seen that American Express cardholders got early access to the three previous ticket blocks, and all of that sold out pretty quickly, so you want to be, you know, signing up for updates to know when those next tickets are going to be available.
My goodness. We're speaking with Kelly Grant, consumer reporter at CNBC.com. Her story is about Hamilton on Broadway, and now that it's received these award-winning 16 Tony nominations, tickets have become very difficult to get and also very expensive. All right, what is this about cancellation seats?
Cancellation seats is an interesting thing. You know, we see that for a lot of different shows, that there might be tickets that are available at the last minute, ones that were held for VIPs or the stars of the show that just didn't get claimed. You know, even something like in the case of the lottery, where somebody wins, but then it turns out they're not able to, you know, get in to claim those tickets on time because there's some policies around that. So there might be something that's available. And usually that's something where you might line up outside the box office day of and get yourself tickets. What we hear, though, from a lot of consumers that have tried this is that the lines are long, so if you are thinking this might be the route that you want to take, you almost have to hire one of these professional line-sitting companies, and there are several. And, you know, it's, you're paying a couple hundred dollars for them to wait for you, buy the tickets on your behalf, and then you would go in.
Goodness, never ends. Of course, there's no guarantee from the line-sitters. You could be out of that money if they don't get you a seat. Kelly Grant at CNBC.com. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. There's a lot of talk today on retirement, how to save, and how to reach our goals. Well, now, thanks to Betterment, there's a new way that's changed the industry by making investing easier and at a lower cost. Betterment is the largest independent automated investing service, managing more than $4 billion for over 150,000 customers. The financial services industry has embraced technology and innovation through the creation of automated investing, meaning you keep more of your money with fees that are a fraction of what you pay with traditional financial services. Then the excess cash is automatically invested, so every dollar you invest is put to work. Your portfolio is automatically rebalanced. Betterment is a member of SIPC, which means your investments are protected. Bank-level security means your personal data is too. Betterment is the better way to secure your financial future. Make sure that you and your family are set up for success. Right now, get up to 6 months of no fees. Learn how when you go to betterment.com/deal. That's betterment.com/deal. Betterment, investing made better.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us on this Wednesday. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koshenka. May the 4th be with you. Some of our top stories and headlines: Trump wins Indiana, Cruz exits the race, Sanders wins again, Navy SEAL from Arizona killed in northern Iraq in a firefight. New study says 250,000 people die each year from medical errors. That would make it the third leading cause of death in the U.S. Takata set to recall another 35 million airbag inflators. The draw for post positions will be held today for the Kentucky Derby, which is Saturday. Tonight's Powerball jackpot, $348 million. Time to get in again. And how Leicester City is set to cash in its Premier League soccer title. That story in about 20 minutes. Guess who's emerged as the most prominent surrogate for Democratic presidential candidate Bernie Sanders? His wife, Jane.
Right after the debate where he said, enough of your damn emails, he also said, there's a process. It's going forward. It's all an right. FBI investigation. We want to let it go through without politicizing it.
Discussing Hillary Clinton's email scandal, Ben Camisar at The Hill says, Mrs. Sanders has been an almost constant presence on cable television lately, pushing back against speculation that the Sanders campaign is in trouble. Ben, what are we seeing?
she's really been across the media landscape trying to act as a surrogate and really tout this optimistic message when there's been some concerns from some people surrounding his path to victory.
Wow. All right, so not all spouses embrace this type of work. Does she seem comfortable in it? Did she get dragged into it? Does she love it? Any sense?
Yeah, and I mean, the thing is, you talk about campaign spouses. This has been an interesting year for them. You know, you have someone like Bill Clinton, who certainly has redefined the role of a campaign spouse surrogate, to say the least.
Yeah.
You've had Heidi Cruz, Ted Cruz's wife, get dragged in to some of this debate herself when some concerns, for, I guess, when some criticism came up from Donald Trump. But as far as it looks like from Mrs. Sanders, she seems to be, you know, holding her own. I think a lot of Democratic strategists that I talked to said that she had been, you know, she's been doing well. She's been able to sort of tout this optimistic message while also being able to lay down, you know, answer some real tough questions. I mean, she, you know, she went in for criticism on Hillary Clinton, on emails, and on her taxes. She was someone who just really pushed back against a lot of these reports that the campaign was going to be suspending or going to be reassessed. She seemed to be doing well from the campaign's perspective, too. I talked to Sanders' aide, who said that she's, you know, uniquely valuable and incredibly useful to the campaign apparatus and to them being able to get their message out to voters.
We're speaking with Ben Kemisar, campaign reporter at The Hill. His piece is called Jane Sanders Emerges as Bernie's Go-To Messenger. All right, you said, too, her comments haven't all been rosy. Meaning what? What did she say?
No, sure. So, I mean, she's interesting. When I talked to one of the Sanders aides, he said, you know, we don't put her out with an agenda, but she's pretty honest and frank and won't dodge questions. So when she was asked on Fox News on last Thursday about the FBI investigation to Hillary Clinton's email, instead of just punting on the question, she, you know, she made a little bit of news when she said, you know, we don't want to politicize this, but that said, you know, it would be nice if the FBI moved the investigation along a little bit. So certainly a little bit more of a pointed comment than you might get from some other people who are trying to just dodge the question. She's also kept the pressure up on the Clinton camp on, you know, not releasing her speech transcripts, and also dug into her a little bit on hydraulic fracking. So she's certainly been able to, you know, pivot when there has been, you know, a tough question and not punt away from it or run away from it, but address the question head on.
Wow. All right. So who does she connect with? Have the aides said that, I don't know, there's a particular, I don't know, say Clinton supporter who thinks differently about the Sanders campaign after hearing Jane Sanders speak?
Yeah, the way that they sort of have framed it is that it's another way to amplify the senator's message. The way that they took it, which is certainly, you know, a little bit of an implicit attack at Clinton, they said that what people really think resonates about Bernie Sanders is that he's able to, you know, have this honest connection with voters, that people, you know, believe he's honest and trustworthy. You know, they didn't connect it directly to Clinton, but certainly that's a little bit of a bar about some of the numbers we've seen from Secretary Clinton. And at least the ones, the aides that I talked to said about Mrs. Sanders that she just amplifies that because she is closer to the senator than anyone else. She's, you know, been around for decades in his political life and obviously his personal life. There's an old Washington Post piece from I think the mid 90s that noted that she's written, you know, scores of legislation in Sanders' first couple of years. She's been an informal advisor the whole way.
Yeah. Thanks, Ben. Ben Kemisar at The Hill. It's 21 minutes before the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Reminder, by the way, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter with the username at This Morning Show. If you like cynicism and sarcasm, you can follow me directly at Gordon Deal.
In business, risks and rewards come with every decision, like moving to the cloud with Office 365. While its benefits include anywhere access and lower costs, cyber threats and user errors can quickly wipe out data and the money you save. Barracuda Essentials for Office 365 provide an added layer of security and functionality for threat protection, email migration, data recovery, and quality of service. Move securely to Office 365. Visit barracuda.com/essentials to learn more.
A great business needs a stunning website. And with Wix.com, you can do it all by yourself. Wix.com makes it easy to look amazing online, no matter what type of business you're in. Show off your images in a beautiful gallery, grow your contact list, and get all your social media in one place, just the way you want. Your customers are going to love it. So, what are you waiting for? Show the world what you can do. Go to Wix.com and create your stunning website today. It's easy and free.
Thanks for being with us on this Wednesday. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, if you live in the great state of Maine, you're no doubt familiar with Governor Paul LePage. The Republican has earned some renown for frequently exercising his veto pen on bills he doesn't like. The Associated Press says that LePage has vetoed hundreds of bills, more than any other Maine governor. So when it came time to add a dog to the family, LePage adopted a Jack Russell Terrier mix from a local shelter and named him Vito.
Oh.
A spokesman says that LePage chose the name because Vito, quote, is the mascot of good public policy, defender of the Maine people, and protector of hardworking taxpayers from bad legislation.
And did he spell it V-E-T-O, or do you go the Italian way, V-I-T-O?
No, yeah, that would be funny if it was V-I-T-O, but no, V-E-T-O.
Very good.
The spokesman also joked that the governor is going to train the dog to deliver vetoes from his office to legislative leaders. Baxter, the first family's previous dog, enjoyed greeting guests and even had a blog and social media presence, so folks in Maine can expect to see a lot more Vito, at least until the end of LePage's term as governor in a few years. Vito, both the dog and I guess the actual striking down with a pen, right?
Right. Very good. I like that he doesn't run away from it.
Yeah, no.
He's gonna embraces the veto image.
Yeah. You gotta own it. Find something you're good at, right? You gotta own it.
Good.
And here's a scary thought, Gordon, for those who live in Gator Country. An alligator was recently caught on video at the front door of a South Carolina family's home on its hind legs, looking like it was attempting to ring the doorbell. ABC News says the unusual sight was recorded on video Monday morning. The man who took the video thought that maybe the gator was trying to get over the fence into the pool at first, but after an unsuccessful attempt, then made its way to the front door. Unfortunately for the gator, nobody was home to answer the door, and it eventually left. The owner of the home was at work when a neighbor alerted her to the gator visit, but she did find plenty of scratches on the door when she got back home.
That's bizarre.
We're getting a lot of these wacky gator stories lately. Yeah. We had the one where everybody was taking pictures, selfies with the gator, I think, last week, in that development where they don't normally see gators. Mm-hmm. Here, one's coming right up to the front door. When I read this, I immediately thought of that SNL sketch, the land shark sketch, where they where the shark rings the doorbell and somebody opens it up and the shark comes in and attacks them. So I was kind of thinking maybe the gators are getting to that level of intelligence now.
Wow. I fish down in South Carolina where my parents live, and all the Gulf water hazards are full of alligators. Like,
yes,
one patrols each lagoon, it seems, like,
right,
they're territorial. So fishing these things, they're full of largemouth bass. So my son and I are fishing once, and we keep an eye on the gators. Like, we'd see the one, you know, he's like, okay, 2 o'clock. My son yells, got an eye on him. So we're fishing, and we fail to pay attention for, like, I don't know, a minute.
Uh-oh.
And then my son says, Dad, the gator is right there. And he was probably, I don't know, 34 to 40 feet away. And we snatched up our fishing lines and took off. But he, you know, was so slow and deliberate that he came out of the water and up on the bank. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that's the thing about them. They look slow, or they look like they can't move. They look like you can keep an easy eye on them, but they are really quick when you when you take your eye off them.
It's true. I by the way, we should apologize because I had tweeted to Donald Trump that he could dial into the show at 6:40 this morning.
There's still time.
But you took that spot and did these stories, so he got bumped. He didn't call in time. Because he had tweeted that he was going to be making appearances
elsewhere.
You're
trying to tell me you would have bumped my gator story for Donald Trump?
Well, with full apologies, but but we did make that opening available for him, but didn't hear from him. Thank you, Mike. It is 13 minutes now before the hour on This Morning, America's First News. This program is not known for its shout-outs, right? I got an interesting Twitter request from a guy yesterday. He says, can I get a shout-out tomorrow? So I played along. I said, it depends. Who's your favorite football team? He said, any team, not the Patriots. You earned it. Kyle T. Kadish. Shout out to you this morning. It's 8 minutes before the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
President Donald Trump called for GOP unity after his Indiana primary victory last night sent rival Ted Cruz packing.
We want to bring unity to the Republican Party. We have to bring unity. It's so much easier if we have it.
But exit polls suggest Trump is facing a significant intra-party rift. A majority of Indiana Republicans say they think their party has been divided by the battle fought by Trump, Cruz, and John Kasich. And half of those who voted for Cruz or Kasich say they would not vote for Trump in the general election. On the Democratic side, Bernie Sanders beat Hillary Clinton in Indiana by drawing support from men and younger voters. But exit polls show Democrats are largely satisfied with either of their top candidates. Georgia's Republican governor has rejected the two top priorities of a legislature controlled by his own party this year, defying election year politics in a deep red state. And Governor Nathan Deal vetoed legislation shielding opponents of gay marriage in March, and yesterday he blocked another bill that would have allowed people over 21 and with a state permit to carry concealed handguns on college campuses. Medical errors may be responsible for far more deaths than previously realized. Researchers from Johns Hopkins say deaths from medical errors may be responsible for more than a quarter of a million deaths annually. That number would make it the third leading cause of nonviolent death in the U.S. French fashion house Chanel has staged a show in Havana, the first international fashion show since the 1959 Communist Revolution. World celebrities gathered at a leafy promenade turned into a catwalk for the firm's cruise collection, even though Chanel goods are not sold in Cuba. And from the kind of sad but true category, we spend more time with Facebook than we do with actual friends. Facebook says users of the social network, Instagram, and Messenger spend about 50 minutes a day using those services. That's more time than we spend socializing with others or reading. The only leisure activity we spend more time on is watching TV, which takes up 2.8 hours every day.
Wow.
Except for you.
That is good, is it? No. I watched about an inning and a half of the Mets game last night. That's about all the TV I saw.
That could have been 3 hours, the way baseball goes.
Not much of a Facebooker either. Are you? You fit into this category? I think this is a younger person's type of survey.
I look at it, but I don't spend time. No.
Well, we're old.
I read, though.
That's true. 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Mailing your letters and packages has just gotten a lot easier thanks to Stamps.com. With Stamps.com, you can mail and ship anything, anywhere, using just your computer and printer. No more trips to the post office, and it's so easy. Anyone can do it. Just click, print, and mail. With Stamps.com, you can buy and print official U.S. postage right from your desk. Stamps.com does all the work for you. They'll even give you a digital scale that automatically calculates exact postage for any letter, any package, any class of mail. And setup is easy, too. In minutes, you'll be printing your very own postage. You'll never have to go to the post office again. Right now, sign up for Stamps.com and use my last name, Deal, for this special offer. A 4-week trial plus a $110 bonus offer, including postage and a digital scale. Don't wait. Go to Stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in DEAL. That's Stamps.com and enter the code DEAL. The English soccer team, Leicester City, has the chance to earn anywhere from $220 million to $365 million from their incredible and improbable Premier League triumph. Reuters reports that the club that had never won the top flight crown in its 132-year history will cash in through prize money from the Premier League and money from competing in Europe's Champions League next season, as well as increased TV and match day revenue. Leicester's TV audiences have soared by over 23% globally this season, and audiences in the UK have grown from 785,000 to over 1 million per game. In Italy, the numbers watching Leicester's games have doubled, largely thanks to the interest generated by the club being managed by Italian coach Claudio Ranieri. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.
Here's to the innovators and job creators. Dell is proud to support small businesses everywhere with reliable, award-winning technology powered by Intel Core processors, created to give your business 4 times faster performance and cut downtime by 50%. During Small Business Month, enjoy 35% off select business PCs, plus always get free shipping and advice from Dell's dedicated experts. Visit Dell.com/radio to discover how we can help you do your best work. Intel inside, powerful solution outside.